Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
So, I have been weighing the morality of something. These new changelings, whether they've evolved or found some other means of replicating our physiology, it makes them unique. Perhaps there's a way we can exploit that uniqueness.
You mean fashion a weapon against them?
Yes, or at the very least a tool to identify and root them out.
So what's your moral dilemma?
The solution may be biological, and targeting a species on biology alone is tantamount to genocide.
Like the virus used against them in the Dominion War.
Exactly. I know we're desperate, but I am concerned about crossing a line.
Well, see what you can find. We'll weigh the morality if and when this becomes actual.
Okay. All right. Yes. Let's get moving here. Let's do this. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Getting right into it this week. Right, guys?
Getting right into it.
It's Got Star Trek podcast episode number 178.
Is that right?
Of the podcast. It is. I'm not sure if your incredulity is sincere or feigned. Either way, I can confirm.
I'm not sure.
This is the 178th episode of the podcast. And this week, Dan, what are we discussing?
I don't know.
Okay. I happen to know you know.
Why is it my job to say?
It's not your... Strictly speaking, it's not your job.
Are we talking about Star Trek Picard?
Yes, we're talking about Star Trek Picard.
Because that's what I watch.
Season 3, episode...
Seven.
Episode 7.
Seven.
Entitled.
I mean, ask Jesse if he knows so much.
Okay, Jesse, do you know the title of this episode?
Dominion?
Dominion, that's correct.
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
There you go.
In the meantime, I do think we need to get back on the...
You're right.
Sort of Star Trek.
My apologies.
The Star Trek of it all.
When we're doing a whole thing where we're being calm.
No, we did that last week. We can be all fucking...
Was that only last week?
You know what I do like, though?
Hey there, how's it going?
I do like...
We're wacky guys.
I do like when we play a sound file that we're quiet during the sound thing. Yeah. And we did a pretty good job last week.
You like that.
You didn't ask Jesse or I. No, I like that.
We might like it when we're talking over the sound file that you're trying to play, so then you have to play it again and it sounds a little awkward because people are like, is he playing it again?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we did that.
It loses some punch. So anyway, I thought we did a good job of not talking over the sound files last week, but you know what? I think we can do better. Do you guys think we can do better?
We can always do better.
See, I'm spinning it positive.
You're also being mildly condescending. But yes, we can.
Sort of.
We can try. Would you like a quick...
What are you selling, Dan?
How about we have a quick off-topic Star Trek quiz? We'll get to the episode, the Picard episode in a second, but I have a one-question quiz.
Okay.
And either of you can buzz in to try to answer this question. The question.
Can we see if our buzzers are working first?
It's a fill in the blank question. you have to tell me what is the blank word? What is the missing word? Are you ready? Mm. All right. The question is: blank is SETI Alpha 5.
Where?
Blank is SETI Alpha 5. Jesse.
This.
That's right.
Oh.
This is SETI Alpha 5.
Oh, well, where was my buzzin' sound? Where?
But you didn't provide the answer. It doesn't matter.
I'm just kidding. Jesse wins.
All right. Okay, that's gotten us back on the old Star Trek train.
I said, where is SETI Alpha 5?
Now we're talking Star Trek.
All right, now we're at least in the...
We're not talking sodas or...
In the arena of Star
Showtime
Trek.
Showtime or...
A pretty intense episode.
Mm-hmm.
How long was it? I think it was a little shorter than they have been.
It seemed shorter.
It was 46 minutes.
Yeah.
Compared, they've been pretty long episodes this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Name one.
Well, one of them was called Imposters. another one was called The Next Generation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess it's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
All right. Okay. Threw me off a little bit there, but we'll continue. Oh, yeah. In terms of discussing this episode, there is a lot in these 47 or 46 minutes. They packed in a whole lot. Mm-hmm.
Well, that first song that she was all humming, I was like, that's either Three Blind Mice or it's Hot Cross Buns. Turns out it was Three Blind Mice.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
But it could have been Hot Cross Buns up until, you know, that point. By that point, and a little beyond that point, we didn't find out to the end that it was actually Three Blind Mice. So if you listen to her, like, oh, that's obviously Three Blind Mice, it could have also been Hot Cross Buns. So just letting you know, in case I'm making an assumption that I know something that you don't, which is something everyone loves to hear from another person.
Again, having a condescending week. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm just on top of the world today.
I mean, like, yes, you apparently are. You're like, fuck you. You guys all suck.
Yeah, everyone's shitting on me.
I'm above all you.
Maybe everyone's been shitting on me, so I'm insecure.
No, I don't think that's the case. What were we saying? Something.
Oh, yes. Three Blind Mice.
Three Blind Mice. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, I was thinking we might, you know, sort of talk about something, one of the broader plot thematic elements or something, but I do like the Three Blind Mice business.
Broader plot,
because it's a scary song. It's a freaky song.
Did we know that going into the season that Tuvok would be a part of the show?
We didn't
know.
We did not know that.
We did not. And in fact, there was some significant Sturm und Drang on the internet.
Some significant what?
Sturm und Drang.
Because, you know, it wasn't really Tuvok.
Hubbub. Kerfuffle. Not quite a kerfuffle.
Brouhaha? Was it a brouhaha?
A brouhaha, yes. Not a kerfuffle. A kerfuffle sort of makes you think implies the use of... Jesse's got his piano this week. A kerfuffle seems more like discrete players against each other as opposed to a broader thing. Mm. What happened was that as soon as the episode was released at 3 a.m. Eastern time, midnight Pacific time in the U.S. on Paramount Plus. Oh, and it was also released a little early this week. That was another scandal this week. Was
really?
It was released early by accident in England on I think on Paramount Plus or Amazon or whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was out like 3, 4, 5 hours, something like that.
I think they have Amazon, don't they?
They might. But so that was first thing. But then that was overshadowed by the fact that as soon as it came out, people started spoiling the Tuvok.
So Reddit must have been obnoxious. Like,
I don't know, because I stay off of social media.
Obnoxious? Well, Reddit off, actually, I have to give them credit. The main subreddits are usually pretty good about not spoiling stuff, usually.
But it'll
happen if you look too hard.
There are subreddits that explicitly state, do not subscribe to our subreddit because we have no spoiler rule. Like, we have all spoilers all the time, which you can quibble with whether that's the way to do it or not, but they at least advertise that. I think it's more like Twitter, Facebook, that sort of thing, where people immediately start posting reactions and pictures memes. They start memeing up shit.
Dude, I was...
And so a lot of people had it spoiled, because not only do a lot of people not get to watch the show until later on Thursday in the U.S. and North America, where it's released on Thursday, a number of people around the world don't get it till Friday. So a lot of them don't get to watch it until Friday evening, right?
Oh,
so a lot of people were upset by being spoiled about, well, you know, like Europe.
Europe.
Yeah, I think England. Well, maybe not England, but there's plenty of countries,
Chief,
I think, that don't get it until Friday.
This happened to me when I was watching The Mandalorian. I won't say what spoiler, but it was a big spoiler in The Mandalorian season 2. And I went to my that sounded like Indiana Jones Temple of Doom.
Are we still singing two different ones?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that they match up well enough.
So it happens. I've said before that when I hum the Family Matters theme song in my head, it would often blend into the Full House theme song.
You've mentioned this on a few occasions.
Yeah. Okay, my point I was making was, this happened to me with The Mandalorian season 2. I won't say which spoiler, but I was looking through my Google.
Season 2, not the current season 3.
That's why I said season 2.
No, currently it's season 3.
I know. I was watching The Mandalorian when it was season two.
I'm sorry. I'm just sort of trying to temporally locate.
It's fine.
The people listening, myself included.
I thought you were giving me shit.
No, I was like, is this a recent thing? Because that might matter. It could be like, is this something that only like do I need to understand that the Queen of England is dead? Like, is that going to be important? Is this a post-COVID or a mid-COVID thing? I don't know. Okay, season 2.
I'm trying to figure out who died since then. A lot of people. Ray Liotta?
Yeah, well, he did. Mm-hmm. Cocaine Bear. His last... He was filming a film after Cocaine Bear, but I don't know if he finished it.
Anyways, so the spoiler, I was looking through my Google feed, which on the Android phone, a lot of them, if you swipe left, you have this Google feed, and one of them was for this article for some stupid website that I'd never heard of, which is obviously some kind of, you know, scammy clickbait website that you want to block right away because they're just... Not that they're going to get you, it's just they're a waste of your time.
We're going to get you.
But it was like...
Something's going to get you.
But the headline was something like... how did they get blah, blah, blah to happen at the end of this episode of The Mandalorian? Which is the spoilers right in the fucking title.
Did you know they
that really grinded your gears.
It did, because it had only been a day or two since the episode aired, so it wasn't like there was any excuse. It was like a day or two, and I was like looking through the feed, and that's when I was like, I can't look through that if I have any kind of spoiler I'm worried about. Something recent, like I have to ignore...
It's unfortunate that the onus is unfairly put on the recipients. Now, I know plenty of people will be like, oh, just don't fucking go online. Yeah, I get it. Yes, unfortunately, that's the reality of things. That's true.
It doesn't have to be that way.
But it kind of sucks that it's that way. And by the way, it's not that way with everything. There are different levels of fandom and different shows and stuff where it just, you don't, these kinds of spoilers don't get out as swiftly, or people are a little bit more careful, or you have to like go a little bit further afield in order to stumble across them.
And this website wasn't even like a fan website. It was just a straight up clickbait website.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Bullshit.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so that matters because Tuvok. Tuvok.
Yeah, I was going to say we were very circling around this episode.
I did not remind you.
Yeah. That we need to get back to the episode.
Sure. Well, let's start with the Tuvok bit, right? There's a bait and switch.
You know it's bad if they call
it a Fuvok.
So yeah,
like a faux Tuvok.
You know what's funny?
Fuvok.
You know what's funny? Tuvok sounded a little bit like Neelix to me at first. Maybe it was Tuvix.
Okay, do your Neelix impression.
I don't know if I have a Neelix impression. I'm going to cook some food.
Okay, no, you do not have a Neelix impression. You're right, sorry.
Captain Janeway.
Mr. Vulcan.
Kes.
My girlfriend is 2 years old.
I'm not going to do
that. The producers
have
only now realized that might be a problem.
Janeway, do you want some food?
Do you want some coffee made out of mushrooms?
So,
all right, yes.
So
that's a real thing now.
Tuvok. Yes, it is. And they have it on The Expanse.
Yeah. Let's all learn how to play Kalto. Anyone know how to play Kalto?
There's another vaudeville joke set up. Hey, y'all heard of this Kalto? Let me tell you something about Kalto.
Sounds like camel toe.
It does. It does a little bit.
But I was reading about Kalto.
Okay.
And
hey, what's Kalto?
What's your source?
Well, my source.
What's your source there, buddy?
Hey
there, buddy. What's your source?
I don't like your
tone. Memory Alpha. Kalto was a Vulcan game of intense strategy that could be played solitaire or by multiple individuals. The object of Kalto, as stated
like
by
Chinese Tuvok.
Remember what we were saying?
No.
I think he's referring to the interrupting bits.
I'll let you know if it's like Checkers.
Can he play his piano, though?
He can play his piano.
Can he give you like a little undercurrent of like, you know, it, like some like explaining a fictional card game music?
Yeah, sure. That's fine. I'm happy to answer your question in just a moment.
All right. So hold the question, but you can play fictional card game music.
Yes. The object of Kalto, as stated by Tuvok, was, quote, not about striving for balance, but about finding the seeds of order in even the most profound chaos.
Okay. All right.
He loves the chaos.
Yeah. So I don't know if there's any rules on Kalto. Rules of Kalto.
All right. I think a lot of people took something else away from this the appearance of Tuvok. Fake Tuvok, false Tuvok,
no,
fraudulent Tuvok.
There's no rules on Kalto.
I do hope we get to see the real Tuvok and that he's
Vulcan's
okay.
Got enough rules, man.
That he'll be rescued somewhere along the way, because it'd be great to see real Tuvok. They're not going to leave that thread dangling, right?
Yeah.
We're being very patient with you, Dan. asked us not to interrupt.
That was really good, guys. I'm sorry. I probably deserved it at that point, you know?
I mean, you're saying deserved it as if you've been afflicted with something. Yeah. When you've been afflicted with nothing other than politeness and kindness.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, no, I mean, just now, because I was just quiet and not going anywhere, which is probably why you guys interrupted me in the first place, because it's like, okay, Dan's wandering off again. We got to bring him home. Anyway.
yes, I mean, you know.
Like, I'm a cow.
We're a significant way into the
okay, the
time of this podcast, and we have talked very little about this okay. particular episode, by all accounts, most people consider this a really great episode.
I take full responsibility for that. So when it was cool when they found out that it was the real Tuvok, because they played the Voyager music and it kicked in.
Yeah.
But then it was like, psych.
Right.
It's not really.
Yeah, there was that. It was weird. But there was that whole like snatch of.
Yeah.
Little snatch they asked of, him the, who, of the music.
Should have
right
asked
there.
Him who he was working for that time he was combing the desert.
He didn't find shit.
Yes, that's he did not find shit.
But apparently. Yeah.
A Vulcan would never go to Aklian 7.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you see, I didn't even know that.
Because it has to do with the colon. Yeah. It was an anti-colonar demonstration. What's an anti-colonar demonstration, right. Okay. Anyway?
Well, so. It's like, it's, you know, it's not like a virtual colon.
Okay. So, I know what they were saying.
Colon nards.
Colonoscopy?
Colonoscopy.
Is that what you wanted to say?
That's. I think colon that was nards. Wasn't that a phrase that Jesse...
Colonoscopy?
No, colonoscopy. I made a joke about a virtual colonar.
Oh, yeah.
And it was... And colonoscopy. It was totally gold. And then you started going off about a virtual colonoscopy.
I can't even remember what episode that was.
And I turned
it was way back.
I must be an alchemist because I turned it to platinum.
Right. I think we had Jimmy as a guest.
Do we want to talk about colonar?
Okay, colonar is that whole thing that the Vulcans do where they purge themselves of all their emotions. Spock was going to do it at the beginning of the motion picture, but then V'ger started talking to him, so he was like, nah, fuck that.
Is this one of the Vulcan traditions that involves like violence?
No, I don't think so. I think it's just more about just meditating. Getting rid of all your emotions and attachments
ultra,
and stuff.
Ultra Vulcan.
So why would you have an anti-colonar movement? What does that even mean? Anti-colonar demonstration. That's so, it's weird.
My only problem with this is it was so verbose that it started sometimes you're watching this and you're like, I'm watching a TV show. Like, he's all like,
I almost did a spit take.
He's all like, a Vulcan would never go to blah 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 because of the anti blah blah blah.
Yeah, right.
And furthermore, blah blah blah. I was like, okay,
my friend,
this only works because Jerry Ryan can pull it off. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of like, I think you had one extra sentence that you didn't need in there. It could have just been like bullshit. You could have just been like bullshit. Fuck you. You aren't Tuvok.
Yeah.
If the changeling goo people, if they've got Tuvok, that's bad news. That means like, do they have Janeway too? Like who else?
Well, Janeway keeps being brought up this whole season.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, we don't have any information that suggests that Janeway or Kate Mulgrew is guest starring this season.
Yeah, I keep hoping it's going to happen, but I think it's not
a lot
gonna.
Of people are hoping it.
I don't think it's
probably
gonna.
Not.
The producers keep saying like, no,
I don't buy it.
They keep saying that she's Janeway's.
Well, I mean, how are they saying it? Are they saying like, no, I don't think so? Or are they saying like, no?
People are saying they keep saying like that the Janeway character is meant to be exclusive to Prodigy right now.
That makes sense.
Yes, but I also don't buy it because it is a whole universe they have there. And
it's a whole universe, but I guess it doesn't really. Who? I mean, it's got different. I don't know how the licensing works.
Okay,
on that
so
kind of shit.
How about this? It makes sense to me in the context of different. You're dealing with slightly different time periods here, so revealing information on Picard might impact the plot of Prodigy in some way or another. However, they've already mentioned that Janeway's around. That's the thing, is they keep mentioning Janeway. So you'd think, hopefully at some point, not maybe, maybe hopefully, that's my own subjective opinion.
They mentioned Klingons a bunch in Discovery, but we never saw them.
Yeah, but that's because they're just fucking with us at this stage. They are just actively fucking with us.
Right.
I'm hoping season 5 is nothing but fucking Klingons.
Do you want them to be old Klingons or new Klingons?
I want the first episode of Discovery season 5, its final season.
They should be like TOS Klingons.
Sadly, it's final season. I want the gimmick to be there, being like, oh, we've got to go to Kronos and do some stuff, and then the whole episode, the whole
Klingon
season
orgy.
You know how in this season of Picard they just keep hanging out at like Imtalis 3 and Sector 6 or whatever? Like, that's what it should be. It should be like in one small Klingon town, a season long arc, and it should have all the types of Klingons. It should have the Discovery Klingons, the TNG and TOS movie era Klingons. It should
big
have
old
the,
bushy
the
eyebrows
old TOS Klingons.
Do you think that gag could work for a whole season? I mean, I could see like an episode joke
I'd,
about
I'd
it.
I'd watch it.
That'd be, I would watch it, but I that would be wild.
All right, well, maybe they won't do that. But,
maybe.
All right, we'll see.
Remember when you, remember like that one time 5 minutes ago when you were all talking about how like you were like, that's, we're watching a TV show because of the line you saw? It's interesting you mentioned that because I was watching something on Star Wars and Mark Hamill was on the Johnny Carson
Star Wars. I was like, dude, you're from Inside the Beltway. Why are you talking Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Hey, buddy, ever see a Star Wars?
Because that's how you pronounce it now.
All right.
But there's apparently a Mark Hamill was telling Johnny Carson a line that he told George Lucas to change because he was like, people don't talk like this. And the line was, and keeping in mind the line we just mentioned on...
And a quick sidebar for our younger listeners. Johnny Carson was a television host, a late night TV host. He hosted
before Jimmy Fallon.
The Tonight Show before Jay Leno and before Conan O'Brien and before Jimmy Fallon. Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So the line was, I was just making sure you were done.
yes, I'm thoroughly done.
The line was, keeping in mind that Patrick was talking about this episode having like some lines that is a little clumsy and long and weird. But this line was, but we can't, because he's talking to Han Solo. Luke Skywalker's talking to Han Solo. He goes, but we can't turn back. Fear is their greatest defense. I doubt if the actual security there is any greater it was on Aquilae or Sallust. And what there is most likely directed towards a large scale assault. That line was originally in Star Wars.
That was just in like the, they were doing that in the screen test. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just brought it up because it reminded me of that because we were talking about long lines, but I don't know if that really paid.
Yeah.
I don't know if it paid off what that I just was, did
right.
or not.
Well, we'll find out when the ratings come in.
When the ratings come in.
That was in the script and they were like, dude, we can't say this.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. Yeah, Mark Hamill was like, this line, nobody talks like
you
this.
You gotta cut this.
Yeah, so.
So next topic of conversation of the many multi-layered plots and stuff going on.
Do Vulcans hold grudges? Because
the Vulcans hold grudges.
They say they will never go back to Akleon 7 after the anti-Kolinar demonstration. It doesn't seem logical to hold a grudge.
I guess that was part of what I found.
They hold it right between the cheeks.
I got nothing wrong with Vulcans holding grudges. I got nothing wrong with that basic fact. I would have left it personally. Armchair high profile Hollywood television.
They
writer.
Ruined Star Trek for me.
I would have just stuck with the whole like neural, you know, she talked about the neural stabilization with the mind meld. Maybe focus on that and forget about the Aethon Prime because it was a hat. You know what it was? It was a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
It was a hat on a hat.
That's hat on hat.
It was a non humor hat on a hat.
Is an ass hat a hat on your ass or an ass made of hat? Or
a hat made of ass.
Or a hat made of ass. It's a hat made of ass.
It's, well, it means you have your head up your ass, right?
Yeah. I think that's what it's supposed to imply.
Ass hat. I never thought of that. That's pretty good.
Maybe it's because you're an ass hat.
It's maybe because you got your head up your ass. Maybe because, yeah.
All right. So, okay. We're marching along here. We're marching along.
Scene two.
So the scene two. So the Titan is hiding among a bunch of junk.
Yeah, it's tight. Isn't that cool?
It is cool. Everything. It's all very awesome.
It's cool that they have like, and they've been bouncing around the different like junk piles in the galaxy, like in Alpha Quadrant.
So So speaking of that junk pile, when you know, Jack was all like being Jack and Picard was like, maybe we do have the advantage. Yeah. And they were talking and then they played that sound of the VSS.
Because I have a plan.
The VSS Teplana. Remember when Vatican.
Tilapia?
Vatican Company were going to raid onto the Titan.
Yes.
And like the way
they all watched the same show.
Yes. Right. I'm just reminding you of the part I'm talking about. Yes. And then they played that video. She played that sound file of like, this is the VSS Teplana. We're all fucked up. Yeah. Oh no. Was that the Enterprise? Was that the Titan sending out a fake distress signal?
I thought so.
To them were they trying to basically say...
I thought it was a doctored recording.
So they were hiding under this junk, but were they trying to make it look like the junk that they're hiding under is the remnants of a ship they just blew up?
Yeah, because
I guess so.
Because the Shrike recognized that both ships were disabled.
Yeah, the Shrike did recognize that
they bought it.
And so they bought it that it was some kind of... Mm-hmm.
If that was actually something that the Titan doctored, you know, if it's a fake, then I think they bought it.
And she, you know, one of her crew members, of course, Captain Vadic's crew members, is immediately like, "This seems like a trap." And she was like, "Fuck you, dude."
Yeah.
It was this alien. That was
you're right. Now, once you played that, I was like, okay, yeah. Now I remember him saying exactly that.
I thought he was going
to
say that.
I've been trying to translate these aliens, but it's actually a lot harder than it seems because I can't tell the difference between the alien noises and the ship noises. It's very
confusing. So are those guys like changelings with some kind of janky kind of...
So here's the gag here, I think. I think I've figured this out.
Some kind of snot alien.
It's snot alien. I enjoy these characters. I enjoy this idea of these special changelings having to deal with. So there's something weird about them. We're learning more. We learn a lot more this episode, certainly about that. And I've been enjoying this dynamic. But I also started realizing, I was like, okay, why are they have them in these big costumes and they're just making gurgly goobly noises and the subtitles and all that? I'm guessing, yeah, it's kind of neat. It's cool. Vadik needed some hulking nameless people to do attacks and things
like that. They are big. They look like they got some big actors playing
them. Yeah, they're all big actors. And who knows? We'll probably find out a little bit more about them.
I
suggested last week that maybe there's something about them. They can't hold their form properly or something. Although, again, there's a little confusing stuff when it comes to the history.
I am fearful of the same thing.
Yeah. We learn here. But I also think that this is sort of I think there's some classic Star Trek stuff going on this season in particular. And by that, I mean the financial constraints. I think when you look at how many sets they have, they keep going to 10 forward. There's a lot of 10 forward bridge conference room. Yeah. There's a fairly constrained set of places they're hanging out.
Hallway.
There's a fairly constrained set of people. They've emptied the Titan of all the other crew, so they don't have to have extras.
I am fearful of the same thing.
Extras going around. They don't have to pay anybody to be have a speaking role on Vadik's ship, so it's really just Captain Vadik talking to herself, basically, the whole time, right? So
The face monster.
Well, yes, and the face monster.
The
face monster, which we can talk a little bit more about in a second. But
the closed captioning calls it just face.
Yes.
It's funny.
Do you think it's face from the show with Mr. T? Yeah, the A-Team?
No.
Face man?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it's him either. But, I don't know. This is a podcast where we bandy about clever ideas.
What if it's Murdoch?
I hope it's not Murdoch.
Me neither.
Just a little observation I had that when you think about it, I think there's a lot of cost saving because all these actors are I'm sure it costs a lot of money to get a lot of these actors.
They gotta pay for Amanda Plummer.
And the special effects are very good, too.
Yeah, whenever they have the gooey special effects, like that's expensive.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm not complaining about it. I actually kind of like when there are... there's always constraints. Look, when you're making a television show, you could always use more money, more time, etc. So it's not like there's no constraints on any of the modern Star Trek shows at all. However, they have had pretty nice, big, beefy budgets and a lot of flexibility and stuff, which has been great. But it's kind of fun also to have those episodes where you're like what they used to call bottle episodes, where you're like, oh, they're just doing, they've trapped somebody in a closet. Right. He's got to find his way out of the closet to save money.
He's telling me, where are the closets?
I can't even see. The windows are fogged up. I can't see the stars outside because the windows are all foggy.
We can't afford
that. That's the best, man.
Well, there was a whole bunch of alien talk. I only took two other ones because it was just too hard to parse the rest. But one day I think we can translate this. So there's this phrase. What do you think they were saying there?
I don't know. I mean, quite literally, I don't know.
Jesse, what do you think they were saying there?
Is there bacon on this?
No. Patrick, do you want to guess? Do you want to?
No, I already said no. I'm not going to fucking guess at this nonsense. I'm just not going to do it. I'm enjoying what you're doing.
This guy knows. He's got a PhD. He knows that's not a language.
Not yet. I don't have the PhD yet. And
sorry.
And
me neither.
I'm willing to participate, but only up to a certain point.
It means it appears someone beat us to the Titan.
Was that one of the things that were actually subtitles?
Yeah, there were a bunch of subtitles, but it was impossible to parse them from what was actually being said most of the time.
Okay,
this one is just one.
It's a hoax language.
I enjoyed that so much, so we got to take a break. But I want to hear this last translation. Okay. I want to hear. We'll take a guess at what this says.
It's not proper.
And then we're going to be so when we hear the translation, it'll be the perfect time for us to take a break.
So you want to do it now?
I want to do it now.
Okay,
and then take a break because I'm confident enough that the actual translation is going to be just, it's going to be perfect for going into break. It's going to be the perfect segue into a break. All right. And what does that, do you want to take a guess, Jesse?
Mayonnaise.
Close.
All right. What's it saying?
You're not going to guess, Patrick.
I can't guess. It's far above my head. I'm not a linguist.
He's afraid that he'll be wrong and then everyone will judge him for it.
No, I know I'll be wrong. And so I'm saving my energy to be wrong about other things that I have less of a chance.
He's saving his reputation. Okay.
All right.
Something about neutrinos.
It means captain. All right. So we've got an official word of this alien language.
We'll be right back.
Means captain.
We're going to take a quick break and we will be right
back. All you cryptologists out there, figure out what the language is.
We'll be right back after no messages. We'll be back in a bit.
Xenolinguistics.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. No, don't go away. We'll be the podcast. This is the end of the first break. We will return. So shortly.
I think we're back.
Okay.
Right. He loves the chaos.
Yes. Don't we all?
Who does? Chief O'Brien?
Chief O'Brien?
The data lore stuff is worth getting into before we chase off.
I'd say that's a big thing.
Chase off the rest of our audience. It is a big thing for this season and for this episode in particular. And
God damn it, Lore! Sounds like Lore just like stole his cookie or something. And he's like, God damn it, mother man! God damn it!
So, all right. God damn it, Lore! We talked last week about how much fun it looked like Brent Spiner was having getting to play all these characters.
I'm here, Jordy.
I think this week, he's less having fun. He's just doing a great job of it. I think especially the transitions, they've simplified it down to now, somewhat incongruently from what they described last week. Now it's, instead of it being Law and this and that, it's just Data and Lore as the core personality matrices.
Yeah, so it says it contains four identity matrices.
Which is leaving out Law for some reason. They mentioned Law last week.
Yeah, you're right, they did.
Oh, Law.
But let's just assume Law is one of the memory squishy.
Yeah, so Soong and B4, and now we're assuming Law, operate B4 as a memory file only.
I'm still aggravated by the name B4, by the way. It's one of the things I don't like about Nemesis.
It's too on the nose or something.
I just don't like it.
What about
R2,
D2?
Yeah, I mean,
before Data.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
That's what I mean. It's too on the nose.
It's a little on the nose.
Yeah. So Soong and B4 are operate as a memory file, but there's a clear partition between Data and Lore. That's a confusing statement. It doesn't, like, what do they really mean? Because memory files exist on partitioned drives, as far as we know. In the future,
partition also means a wall.
Oh, partition does mean a wall. So they're saying, but they're saying it's a memory file only versus a.
Well, that's Law. They're saying Law and no. They're saying B4 and Soong are memory files only.
Yes,
and that Data and Lore are some sort of active personality matrix. Each of them has a matrix. Okay, technobabble, and that there is some sort of dividing wall between them that is clearly not impervious because both Data and Lore are trading, sort of taking control.
So this would imply that Soong and B4's mind isn't as complex and dynamic as Data and Lore's.
I do not think that is a fair assumption to make.
Well, because, like, what does it mean? It's a memory file only.
I think it means they did not have that. Neither of those people were. They didn't have enough of their personality information. Like, you can assume that you got a computer and you've got some bits over here, like some programming bits, and then you got some Data bits. I think Data and Lore have the programming bits.
Like, the doctor did,
and the,
like,
memories.
Put some recordings in there to explain it.
Whereas I think the other bits, I took it to mean the other bits are just a less sophisticated copy. They don't have the AI bits.
Well, that's kind of what I was trying to, I was trying to say in so many words.
I'm sorry if I mistook it, because I had mistaken you to suggest that the original people.
Before
definitely did have a less sophisticated mind because
what I meant is by virtue of the fact that they're like a memory file only, it's not as is complex and dynamic versus what exists between Data and Lore in that particular brain structure.
I loved all the Data Lore stuff. I like Brent Spiner's acting. I did notice, however, or at least these scenes where I started noticing that this episode has a ton of ADR. You know, like the voiceover stuff where they show people the back of people's heads, and then Geordi in a different tone, clearly recorded somewhere else, is like, and by the way, what we have to do is this. And I think some of it is, it almost feels like that studio pressure of like, we need the audience won't understand. You need to explain more. I think there were some extraneous lines. Maybe some of them were helpful. Again, it's not meant as a critique. It's difficult to edit these shows together, but it seemed like they were editing the show together and decided we don't have enough information here, so we've got to squish in some information after the fact.
There was
could be wrong about that. It just kind of seemed like that.
There was a moment where you could see Beverly's face, and I swear the end of her line, it was like seeing her face through like one of the energy walls, the containment chamber walls or something. There was something
like a force field.
There was like a force field or something, and she, you could see her lips move, and the last word like didn't match up with the lips, so that sounded like you're talking back of the head ADR. I'm talking about, I think they straight.
Well, there was a lot of ADR in this episode,
and I don't know if this is what you mean by like explaining to the audience. What you probably mean is exposition, like from the Star Trek universe. Yeah. They're explaining, like, there was one line where Beverly was like, Jean-Luc, she took the face of her torturer, why? And he's like, to remind herself of her hate.
Yeah.
And like, that's good, but like, that was a line totally for the audience, you know, I think, because like,
oh sure, I don't mind that so much, as long as it's like well done.
Well, you know, yeah, old showboat Captain Picard.
Yeah, and I don't mind any of this stuff, because I understand where it comes. It's just sometimes it jumps out at you. Sometimes there's a couple things where you're like, oh, they went in there and had to like record some extra stuff.
I like it when Lore says that Picard looks all old, because so does Lore.
Yeah, I know.
It looks like old Lore.
My favorite bit with the Lore
old
stuff
Data.
was Alondra LaForge asking if Lore was always this arch.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
And he starts talking about, you know, sometimes you need a little bend.
Because he's like being extra arch.
I'm glad they did that.
It's been so long since we've seen him, and it's like extra.
And they wanted him to be an arch character. That was the role they were playing. They've got a lot of art. It drew attention to the fact that this season has a lot of archness to it. Captain Vadic is super arch.
Oh, man.
The creepy face monster is extra arch. These are very arch characters, and I liked that Alondra kind of called attention to it while also excusing it so that Lore could have the opportunity to be like, I've dealt with these assholes for a long time. I'm going to be a little ridiculous about it.
I wasn't sure how I felt about this line. It's not a big deal.
The enemy of my enemy is... you know the rest.
This is it.
And the problem
this is Dan's cliche alarm.
Well, the problem... Yeah, and it was a very specific version of that, because like... Data was very noticeably stating the cliche. It was self-recognized clicheing, right?
Does that cliche come from any sort of literature where somebody actually says that?
I don't know. Or I never know the origins.
Is that just something that somebody put together? And
it's either the Bible or Die Hard, or sometimes Star Trek. A lot of stuff comes from Star Trek.
So, like, it was self-referential because he was pointing out that he was bringing up that cliche. But at the same time, when he was like going like, "The enemy of my enemy is well." You know the rest. It's like, it would have been quicker to just finish the cliche.
Absolutely.
And as it stood, it was obvious that he was extending it out to make a point and a joke, and I didn't land for me.
Do you think that the writers...
Well, Laura's an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think the writers... the writers did that on purpose, perhaps.
Just to make Laura...
to drive home the fact that he's a...
Let us not forget.
He's a complete dickhead.
Yeah, totally.
There was this video game called Earthworm Jim, and sometimes people... in the manual, it was like, if you're cool, you'll abbreviate it to EWJ, even though that has more syllables than like saying Earthworm Jim. And he's right. If you EWJ has more syllables than Earthworm Jim, that's what was going on here. But yeah, I guess the answer is Laura's an asshole.
I enjoyed that anecdote.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I did too.
Think you didn't.
I never played the game, but I read about it. And
it's a Star Trek podcast, but it's good to expand beyond that a little bit and have a little, bring in some of the outside world.
Jesse, you've heard of that game?
Yeah.
I've heard of that game.
Ah, it's fun.
I know that game.
I read about it in like Nintendo
Power. When Vadic was looking at her arm, I'm making a weird sideways...
Dan is making an upsetting motion. I think he just realized that it could be misinterpreted.
But it was going sideways and not
this
up and
is an
down.
Audio program.
That's
they can't see that.
Okay.
It's a funny gesture, sir.
When Vadic was looking at her arm map, her arm computer.
Yes.
In Fallout, they have a similar device.
Oh, where it showed the ship and the life forms.
You make a lot of references to video games.
Yeah, because I played a lot of video games in my life.
Do you think that beyond just playing video games, the various aspects of video games.
Video games?
Have created sort of like a crystallized structure, like a metaphorical crystallized structure,
a crystalline entity
that helps support and inform your worldview.
I don't know if I take it that seriously, but I do think about how they're neat
all the fucking time.
It's called in Fallout. It's called the Pip-Boy. That's what it's called, the Pip-Boy.
Yeah.
Not the Pep Boys, the Pip Boy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just video games are neat. They're fun. They're cool. And I don't even play that many video games anymore. It's just I like to know about what's going on with them.
I can quit playing video games whenever I want.
Yeah.
Video games are inherently positive.
I agree.
let it be known.
Let it be known.
That's my opinion.
So we were talking about that because we're talking about the lore statement thing. Yeah, okay.
The lore stuff was a little bit confusing in the sense that there was so much
lore's an asshole.
Okay, look, there was so much going on in this episode and I really appreciated it from the first viewing, but the second viewing, knowing what was coming and it helped me make sense of things a little bit because there's just a lot going on. And the lore lore stuff was a little confusing because it was like, it doesn't seem like lore is working. Like lore doesn't appear to be working with Vadic, but he senses what's going on. His way to, you know, break out. Of course, in the end, Data is able to take over anyway, but it's right after lore fucks everything up. And Lore seems pretty confident that he's not going to get fucked up in this process. Again, on a second watch, it's a little bit more straightforward, makes more sense, but a lot of stuff jam-packed in there.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that when Vadic got on the ship, she was talking about how Jack was talking about how half the ship was empty. She was pointing out that everyone was scattered about. And Jack, when he was talking to...
He was like, everyone's dead.
Rats.
Was everyone dead? Is that why half the ship was empty?
No, he said that. He said everyone was dead.
It was part of the ruse that he killed
part
them
of
all.
The part of the
no,
ruse.
No, but he was talking to Sydney. When he was talking to Sydney about like her quarters when he was being
That was because remember they emptied it when the whole robe thing. Before robe blew herself up, they emptied out all the non-essential.
No, I was trying to remember where that happened. See, my memory's like not so hot, man.
Not so hot.
They got rid of all the science officers.
Yeah, okay, so that makes sense.
We do learn in this process when Vadic gets trapped by Picard and Crusher and goes on her little, not tirade at all. She was very calm about it.
You know? Aren't you adorable?
It's an awful backstory.
Yes. She describes being effectively a prisoner of war.
Project Proteus.
Captured and
a guinea pig.
And by the Federation, by Starfleet, and then experimented on. Early in the war, I'm very glad that she corrected the historical record, at least that Picard seems to buy into.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because last week we mentioned that Picard said something about Starfleet gave the changeling the secure, and we point out, no, Odo and Bashir and O'Brien were the ones who, you know, got together to help do that, Chief O'Brien.
Yeah, she was like,
Chief O'Brien?
When Picard was like, yeah, we gave your people a cure, and she was like, that's what the history books tell you.
And then she was like, one of our own had to take it. Now, she also is rewriting history because she said one of our own, implying Odo, had to steal it back, when actually it was Odo with the help of Dr. Bashir and O'Brien, of course.
So Odo didn't go through all that pain that she did, apparently.
Odo didn't go?
I mean, Odo's emotionally traumatized by it, maybe, but like...
Okay.
Odo already killed a changeling.
Yes, he did. Odo does describe on Deep Space Nine in his background. He describes effectively being tortured. He was poked and prodded and other things done to him until he like slapped the hand of his of the doctor. What's his name? So Odo also went through some of this. However, the difference in that case was that as soon as Odo demonstrated to the scientists sentience, they stopped, or at least they changed their experimental protocol.
Because they're not Starfleet.
They were still taking advantage of Odo in a lot of ways, and we won't go into all the details there. See Deep Space Nine. to get more details about that. But it is a different scenario to what apparently happened here. And I think we can take Vadic at her word that she was brutally tortured by these evil scientist people, one of whom she has decided to mimic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was an interesting point when she was like, how remarkable it is that an enlightenment species?
An enlightened species.
I don't know why I have enlightenment written down.
I suspect, and I don't want to make an assumption here, but I suspect it's a typo.
Yeah, it was a typo.
I'm surprised.
What?
That you would have a typo?
No, it wasn't my typo. It was what I copied it from. I copied it from that line.
Transcription.
Yeah. An enlightened species can ignore each other's pain. Do you think she'd have kept your son from you if she could feel your loss? I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about that, but it seems like a good point to me.
I'm assuming we're meant to understand that she's talking about like the Great Link type thing, saying like the Great Link is better than being like you solid separate people.
The gooey continuum.
Because you guys would have known both your concerns and like been able to allay concerns. It would have been like an instantaneous process. It wouldn't exist as a problem, this idea of like having a secret child.
Well, no, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying is like, I thought that was an interesting point. It's like, do you think she'd have kept him from you if she could feel your pain on that? Exactly. Yeah. And so to me, I was like, that's a good point. Although I also was trying to like diplomatically not insert myself into the discussion of whether, how parents react. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I like seeing Dana awkward.
Dana's only going to say the wrong thing.
I don't want to pretend I know what it's like to be like a dude with a child that who has a woman that
who had
a child with a woman and
it's
the child
easy to
stayed with
it's
the
about
woman.
Like what you imagine.
Yeah, but I'm sure there's complex subtleties in the scenario that there's nuance involved, right?
And Dan, totally. You're right to be concerned.
but what I was trying to say is I was trying to put that preface out I was qualifying it to go on to say, like, yes, it's an interesting point to make that if you could feel someone else's pain, would you go through the same actions that hurt them in that way for your benefit?
And on that greater point,
it's all about what benefits you more, getting this thing or not feeling that pain.
There's been a lot of discussion about this situation with Beverly Jack and Jean-Luc.
Beverly Jackson.
Over the course of the season, since it was revealed.
Married to Shinzon Jackson.
Since it was revealed that Jack is Picard's child, or presumably, I hope it remains that case. I will get aggravated if later in the scene, because there's some hints when Vadic is all like, he was never for you.
Something's going on.
It's like keeping the child, make it something. It's okay that something's weird about him. I think, depending on how it plays out, I'm pretty sure I'd be aggravated if it was like, actually, it turns out he's not your child at all. He's a hologram or something.
Midichlorians.
But anyway, I was just going to say real quickly that
holograms?
when it comes to this debate about who was right or wrong and what degrees of right and wrong, you know, Beverly and Picard and all that other stuff, it's not that you can't debate it. I do think it's important that people don't debate it from sort of a high level way, because the fact is all of these potential scenarios are very context dependent. And that's where the debate has to center around these specific people, these specific characters.
The slippery.
Sometimes I have seen some of these debates online veer into the more meta as if there are universal rules about right and wrong when it comes to parenting or not parenting children. And I think that's where you get into more trouble when you start making sort of declarative arguments based off of some sort of universal principle that you perceive to be the case. And it's fine if you want to argue that and defend that proposition, but in the case of having fun while talking about a TV show, certainly every situation is different. And like Worf and his son, there's a whole situation there. That's a context to describe. Geordi and his hologram stuff. You know, that's something to talk about.
Holograms?
It's all about the context.
That's why I said slippery, because context, it's like a slippery slope.
Yes. Anything about the...
Tick-tock goes the ancient clock.
She uses a lot of humanism,
She picked up a lot in that dirty old laboratory.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good that they're explaining that, right? She's got the cigar. She's got the talking about clocks and afternoons in Seoul and all this other bizarre sort of anachronistic stuff. Yeah. They've now explained that, or at least inferred an explanation, that it comes from her time in captivity, and perhaps even beyond that, as she studied solids, her enemy, in order to know them better.
Solid.
And so that's great. I do note that when it comes to these season-long arcs, and it's not just Star Trek, by the way, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, there's the mystery, and we're finding out exactly who's, and then you find it out, and you're like, okay, finally they explained it. It was weird. Now they've explained it, so it's not, it's retroactively not weird. That's fine. Maybe there's a little too much of that these days in television.
Wait, a little too much of what? Sam?
It's the whole thing where, like, you, it's like, why is this happening? This is weird and does it goes against my expectations. And then seven episodes down the line, you're like, oh, that's why it's happening. Oh, right.
You mean they're trying to like plan too far? Like they're looking on too big of a timeline where they'll give you something and then they'll give you a breadcrumb and then they'll like,
yeah, I guess from a meta sense,
they'll wave a carrot in front of your face and then give it to you seven episodes later.
No, not even that necessarily. What I'm talking about is where you're watching through something the first time, and on it, for a lot of people, they watch a TV show. If they're going to watch it, they watch it once and that's it. Right now, a lot of Star Trek people, we're going to watch this stuff over and over and over, right? So it's maybe less of an issue for us. I'm just talking about how it's like, okay, the change, these people are changelings. We find out at some point they're changelings, and they're like, oh, but they're not, they're killing other changelings. Oh, yeah. That's against the changeling rules. They're, there's Bucket, this other, you know, there's all these aspects.
There's Bucket. There's Bucket.
There's like stuff about these changelings that's different. You were like, why is it? And so at least it's like, is it different because the writers don't know any better? Well, right. No.
That's always the question, is it on purpose or not?
But some people know, is it different because they've just opted to say, for story reasons, we'd want it, you know, we just don't care because we want to tell a different story?
Well,
or in this case, is it they do have a reason, it's just that we don't learn it till later? And again, I'm using the changeling example. I got no problem with that in and of itself. It's more about the whole thing, because Star Trek, the Picard season two was another, it was just the same thing. It was this whole season of finding out that Dr. Girardi was the Borg. Mm-hmm. And you start to figure it out like in the last couple episodes maybe, but otherwise it's like, oh, what's the deal with the Borg business? Mm-hmm. Oh, what's going on? It's so crazy. Who's it going to be? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be Seven of Nine? You know, it's that, I don't know. That's not a very helpful for a long-term story.
Speaking of, do the writers know any better? That's probably one reason people thought that Riker was going to be a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Is because like it was kind of uncharacteristic of him to talk that way. Even though I guess he had a reason.
We find out the reason later. We find out that he's having problems with Deanna because of his being upset about the death of his son.
He's got darkness.
Later. We find it later, and that's another thing in this season. And again, I mean, you do one of those, not so bad.
I mean, I feel like at the time though, it could be drawn from that moment in time. I felt like that it seemed like he was behaving differently because, like, yeah, he had a chip on his shoulder, but he was sensitive about his son. And so you could kind of gather that a little, but it wasn't very clear is the thing.
Yeah, and like I said, individually, none of these I have a problem with. And honestly, this season is fantastic. I am not in any way complaining about the writing or anything of this season. They've done a great job. I'm thoroughly entertained. I just, you know, in the function of a podcast host, watching the episode a bunch of times in a row, these things jump out a little bit where you're like, oh, you know, there's a lot of stuff where it's like, why is that happening? Oh, now we find out why it's happening. Okay, why is this happening? Now we find out why that's happening.
I think with the Riker thing, like, what I thought it was out of character, but at the time I was like, oh, he must have something to do with his kid, and like he's got this weird fucked up attitude now because of his kid. But at the same time, I remember thinking that at the time, and which it seems like the best explanation for it. But yeah, it wasn't very. It also ran through my head as like, that could only be my only logic. Right? It's not clear. Yeah. The problem was it's not clear exactly, and I had to like make some assumptions to get to that conclusion.
And not
that everything has to be spelled out for you, but I don't know. It made me question whether the writers.
It is the whole, and I really want to narrow it down specifically on this whole like weirdness is presented, is explained later as part of the plot. There's nothing wrong with that as a storytelling device, but it is not the only one. And in fact, in Star Trek, it was very common to not, in fact, do that. It's here's a problem. Our team gets together, and because of their unique characteristics, they're able to figure out the solution to the problem. There's less of this mystery box that's like, what's happening? What's causing this? Oh my God, what is this? There's a little bit of that because, again, it's totally appropriate, but I could see myself getting sick of it if it's just too much of that.
So
the Discovery, same thing. I love the Discovery season 3, season 4, but there was a lot of that. What is it? What's going to happen? What's the mystery?
So speaking of when you're talking about like how things come to be and if they explain it or not, Face, otherwise known as
the monster face.
He's like a skull.
We still don't know where that technology slash ability comes from. Hopefully they'll explain it to
us.
He's
a changeling.
Now, is that same ability tech? No, but I mean, changeling's one thing, but being able to just like...
It's probably not a changeling.
I
bet not.
Okay, so fair enough. But like the point being is like shapeshifters, just because you can shapeshift doesn't mean you can read other shapeshifters' mind unless you're like connected in the Great Link, but not from a distance like that, which is what they're doing. So do you think that the same technology or ability that that the face monster can use to inhabit Vadic's hand in order to talk to her, do you think that's something similar to what Jack is getting to?
Because Jack the puppet master?
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Maybe. Exactly. Maybe. Jack the puppet master. Because he can do moves like, remember that movie Real Steel with Hugh Jackman where he was like, he was part of this robot boxing ring where the fighters stood on the side and the robot mimicked their movements.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing with Sydney.
This is the part where I'm really digging this part of the plot in particular. Because
so I was wondering if those were the same, if that's related somehow, because like they've got to come up with an explanation for both of them, you'd think. So.
And there is some relation there because that face monster wants Jack alive
for some purpose.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important that we note... I'm sure other people, you know, notice this as well, that when Picard came up with his idea, his assumption, when he was talking to Vada, he was stating outright, he was saying like, I know what you're going to do. You want my body and Jack, and you're going to combine the genes somehow to make into some sort of a super version of Picard, you know, exact clone of Picard. Picard seems very confident in this conclusion that he's made. I think everything about the show is telegraphing that Picard's conclusion is completely incorrect.
So the conclusion,
Vadic does not respond when he says that. She doesn't do anything like weird, like smile coyly or anything. She just sort of ignores it.
So you're talking about the conclusion where Picard is saying like, okay, they're getting my body, filling up the gaps with Jack's DNA, so they can sneak into Super Day. What's it? Frontier Day.
Super Day Osborne.
Yeah, Super Day Osborne. Frontier. So. He can sneak into Frontier Day because he made it to point to say like they genetically test you when you're an admiral going into Frontier Day, and so like he's gonna pass that genetic test now is the idea, and then he's gonna blow up all the
fleet. He's gonna be the dude that fucks all the shit up.
Yeah, fucks all the shit up in the fleet. And you're saying, Patrick, you think that's they're trying to make us think that?
I think that they're trying to, maybe not trying to make us think that, but they're certainly Picard thinks that.
Okay.
Maybe the audience is going to go along with Picard just because that's where Picard is going. Now, but here's an example, right? I'm making that prediction because that's the all the literary tropes that are floating around on the screen, to me, say that this is a red herring, that Picard has made an incorrect assumption because he's missing some facts. He doesn't know exactly what's going on.
I am fearful of the same thing.
Yeah. Now, if it turns out that he's absolutely 100% correct, like, hey, yeah, I might be a little aggravated because I'd be like, yeah, I don't know. You're putting down red herrings and is like sex when the red herring is itself a red herring. Like, too many
red herrings.
And I don't think they're doing this. I don't think they're doing this at all because I have a great deal of confidence in these writers because they've put together such a string of,
they got good writers,
excellent episodes, in a row. But you know, we're at episode 7 and it's like, how many aspects of this, story now we have, what's happening with Riker, what's happened, you know, or the whole Riker acting weird.
Which, by the way, it seems like looking at the whole Worf Raffi role thus far,
Worf Raffi,
was really to accomplish two things. One, to get Riker in that position he's in now, and the other is to bring Data to the ship. That's all that happened.
And then to leave for a bit so you don't have to pay those actors
for
a few episodes. Because now you're paying Geordi.
Yeah, and, right.
And Michael Dorn's already been in a whole bunch of Star Trek, so they, you know.
So I don't know if like they're gonna go back to Raffi and Worf that much at this point.
I mean, they'll
go back to him, but I don't know if they're gonna really do much more.
They're
with
saving
them.
Money.
Yeah,
they're saving money along the way here.
But Data was talking about because the data was talking about Iromatic syndrome.
These data is plural.
Iromatic syndrome is in question.
Datum is singular.
Datum.
So I don't think when Data was like, the aromatic syndrome is in question or whatever. Remember when he said
yes.
that? I don't think that's a misdirect. I think that maybe that's related to why Jack has like puppet powers and why the face monster can talk through through telepathy or some kind of weird message system.
And who knows, people online have suggested, oh, maybe it's the Borg. Maybe it's a holdover from Locutus brain thing.
That would be believable.
Do you think the face monster is really just speaking through a subspace receiver and I'm looking too much into that? It seems like the face monster has some kind of secret connection.
I agree.
It's a new technology.
Yeah. I agree.
Or an ability.
There's
an enchantment or an ability.
There is the mystery of plot lines, and some of them we're getting a little bit more information. And like we mentioned earlier, there was the Riker's acting weird. Okay, that's been largely resolved. There's been the Shaw is acting weird. That's been largely resolved. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Then there's what is Vadek's motivation? Okay, we have a little bit more insight into her motivation, but not entirely. We don't know who the face is. What's the face's motivation? What control does the face have over Vadek? Why does the face monster have this control over Vadek and her crew? Are they the only ones on this ship? But there's obviously all the ones they have infiltrating Starfleet. But what is their ultimate purpose other than the whole like bringing down Starfleet? We still don't know 100%. There's a lot of guesses about Frontier Day and who knows, maybe that's a red herring too. We still have a few episodes left and to resolve all that. And I'm sure they'll do so in an excellent fashion, but stuff to think about.
Here's the sound of a face falling after it was done.
A face falling?
Back.
Remember a few episodes back, you were like, you purposely didn't want to get the clip of Cindy LaForge vomiting after seeing.
Oh yeah, because nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, but like then you play the face.
Because we can tell ourselves it's a falling goo face and not vomit.
We can tell ourselves all sorts of things. I'll tell you one thing.
What?
It's time for a break.
Ooh.
All right, so we will be right back. Very
God damn it, Lord!
That's right, Jordy. Be back in a moment. All right, we're back.
So, I was going to mention, because we were talking about Vadek and the whole situation with the cure that. So they had
the cure?
The cure?
Yeah.
Like the band, the
show
cure?
Show me how you do that trick. The one that makes me feel seasick.
That's the cure.
What about that one that's like do 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 do? It sounds better on the keyboard, you know. It has that.
Oh yeah, that one.
You make me feel like I am. So at the beginning, Beverly was all talking about the cure situation. So and she was talking about trying to find links and stuff like that, you know, and she was like.
You mean the Atari links? Sorry, I'm talking over here. You made that at the beginning of the podcast. This is what you don't want us to do.
It's okay. I didn't warn you. It's okay.
And you. I think you're okay with it only because I made an Atari links joke.
No, yeah, you're projecting.
That's why you're like, that's fine because it's a video game.
It's a video game. It's okay. It's a video game. That's a video game.
That's a video game.
So she was all like.
So I have been weighing the morality of something.
Oh, yeah, Beverly? What's that?
These new changelings, it makes them unique. Perhaps there's a way we can exploit that uniqueness. A tool to identify and root them out.
Okay, that's an interesting point. So what?
The solution may be biological, and targeting a species on biology alone is tantamount to genocide.
I think I know where you're going with this, Dan. This is one of Dan's favorite riffs.
And then so Picard says...
Like the virus used against them in the Dominion War.
Exactly.
Or like the unsolvable formula, that the geometric formula that Picard wouldn't...
The computer virus.
That Borg wouldn't use to genocide the Borg in the episode I, Borg. Yeah. It was an unsolvable geometric formula or a computer virus.
All right.
So like it was like that, but it was also like this, right?
So new audience members, Dan has a particular obsession with this episode. We haven't even discussed iBorg yet. We should discuss that at some point. I keep forgetting whether Dan ended up on the pro-genocide or anti-genocide side.
Mean, I understand Picard's point of view, and it makes sense, and that's the right decision. But come on, you know.
But They're poor.
Well, I'll pay you one more thing in a second after you're done explaining.
Well, I wasn't going to explain anything else.
Okay. Well, Ben Picard goes on to say...
Did you say Ben Picard?
Ben Picard.
Are you saying B's instead of T-H's
Ben
today?
Ben Picard.
I think you're saying B's instead of T-H's today.
That's a funny affliction, sir.
But...
Be yourself. You remember in Aladdin when the genie, played by Robin Williams, shrinks down to a small size, and he's like, "Be yourself."
But are you talking about like that?
No, that's you saying B's instead of WH's. Oh. I was saying instead of TH's.
Oh no, maybe I am. I'll have to play back the tape.
W-H.
But after Picard says like
the virus used against them in the Dominion War.
Exactly.
Whoa. He then goes on to say,
"Well, see what you can find. We'll." Weigh the morality if and when this becomes actual.
He already did weigh the morality in the episode of I, Borg when they were going to create a computer science to generalize the Borg. Oh.
Create the computer science.
He was going to create a computer virus to genocide the Borg.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's a different situation.
It's a different context, potentially. Maybe not, but it's a sufficiently different situation that is worth the analysis, is worth going through the process of analyzing the situation, gathering the facts, and developing a philosophical model upon which you can rest these whatever options you have available and then slot them in and see if they would fit with
me. Neither.
Whoops.
Particular morality.
I didn't mean to play that. But no, I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay. But I do think that line specifically, the one where Picard says, you know, well, let's move forward and then we'll weigh the morality about it later. To me, that was the most TNG line thus far.
It was.
In all of Picard.
No, and you know what?
Him sitting there responding to people or his crew is presenting him options and he's discussing and then he's effectively giving an order saying like, you know what, let's go ahead, move forward with it. We'll think about the details later, which is a very captain-y thing to do.
Yeah, but he's usually the one to bring up the idea of morality. Beverly brought up the idea of morality in this situation.
Yeah, but I mean, he was like, yeah, you know, you're right. We should think about it, but why don't we don't have to think about it unless we have the option is what he was saying. Mm. And from
this situation is a little bit more dire than I, Borg, but then does it matter this context when you're talking about genocide?
Okay. Well,
I would say no.
What I will say personally is that I did not come tonight prepared to have a simultaneously well thought out, well prepared, and hilarious conversation about the pros and cons of genocide.
Neither.
Maybe you can do a bonus episode on that if you
want. No, I don't want to do a bonus episode.
It's got genocide.
On the pros and cons. Boy, that's not a minefield at all.
I'm just saying,
right?
I need a couple days lead time before, you know, I can come down strongly on one side of the
It's got ethnic cleansing.
Oh, no. I want to end this joke. I want to end this joke right here.
It's got ethnic cleansing. Jesus Christ. All right. Any other major bits?
We got social engineering.
I mean, there's a lot of odds and ends of this episode.
Well, I did have a few. If you wanted to play a game of guess the context based upon a short portion of the line,
I do.
Let's do it, dude.
My new favorite game. Let's do it.
Okay. So here is question number one. Some of these are easier than others.
Why are you spoiling us?
What?
You're spoiling us.
I am spoiling you. I thought you meant I spoiled the game.
Some of them are easier than
others. It just turns out that way. It's not an easy game to like.
But it's not in any particular order.
They're not in any particular order. Yeah, because
so this could be the hardest one of the whole bunch.
The thing about making this game is I never know what's going to be a candidate until I see it, you know, and then or hear it. And then
so
I'm
it's like pornography.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like pornography.
You know it when you see it.
Right. So for people who don't know, this game, I play a small portion of the line, and then Jesse and Patrick have to guess the context surrounding it. Okay.
All right.
Question number one.
Up in my head. Up in my head.
That's when he's talking to Picard. Jack is talking to Picard and he's saying he hears voices.
Yes.
And I was watching the episode and I thought, wouldn't it be funny if Jack, instead of being British with a British accent, if he was like from Tennessee,
yeah,
he's like, I hear voices in my head.
He was like Trip Tucker. No, Texas? That's like,
like Trip Tucker's from Florida.
Yeah. He's from Florida. Florida.
Captain, I hear voices in my head.
Why did I think he was Texas? Yeah, it would work though. Tennessee, British. I mean, there's some similar.
I just thought it would be extra funny if Picard, in addition to having to deal with a child he didn't know that existed, and that this child is maybe has some different lifestyle choices than mm-hmm. Picard would prefer for his progeny. If in addition to that, he was just like, my name's Jack.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Jack Crusher.
I like hanging out with my mom. We go around world and we
we go where?
We go around the world and we
you
save
said we go
people.
Around world.
We get medical supplies and we get the aliens all up in the you just give
we're
them
gonna get medical supplies.
Well, okay, all right. Like, no, maybe that would
that's
be
not
a little...
how people from Tennessee talk. I was mom just that, yeah. I was talking like an old Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yes, you were. Like, okay, did I get a point for that then?
And I don't even know how to begin to explain this to you, but it's like I can...
It's like I can hear...
Up in my head.
Up in my head.
Well, yeah, exactly. I like how he points to his head.
Don't we all hear up in our head? Because he didn't say hear voices. He just said, it's like I can hear
that's
up
how
in
I receive
my head.
It as well.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I like how he points to his head when he does it. Okay, here's question number two.
Transporters.
Transporters.
Is that Geordi?
Yes.
Transporters.
It's when he's trying to transport his daughter out of the thing and it doesn't work, right?
I think he might be right.
Laura's taking over all major systems.
Laura's taking
security.
The Uber.
Transporters.
Wait, I gotta
transporters.
Security. I gotta start
transporters.
Over. Hold on.
Laura's taking over all major systems. Security.
You know,
transporters.
Hey, Geordi has a problem. Geordi has a problem saying lore.
Okay.
Well, he can't just be like lore. He's like lore.
Lore.
Yeah.
Lore.
I gotta play it again because people keep interrupting.
People. You lore. Mean me?
Laura's taking over all major systems. Security.
What the fuck are you doing?
Did you edit that together? Was
no.
that a jump edit? Or did
no,
you,
it's
did
because,
you edit it or
no,
was it in the TV show?
It was in the TV show because they switched scenes in the middle of it. And one of them was starting out there.
One's on the audio channel and one's on the business.
Okay, so here's the whole clip in its entirety. It's 9 seconds. Let's see if we can do this.
Laura's taking over all major systems. Security.
Transporters.
Why is Laura doing this?
Chaos. He loves the chaos. He loves the chaos.
Okay. So, good job,
guys. You think
guys.
He took replicators?
Transporters.
Okay, here's the next one. I think you guys will get this one.
You're so old.
That one isn't that hard at all.
Yeah,
that's,
I mentioned
that's
that
lore.
One already.
Yeah. I don't even have to play the whole clip.
Old.
It's 9 seconds we can get back. Let's skip to the
are
next one.
Are all
question.
Your clips 9 seconds? Do you have like a tick about
that would explain why you're so old. Time has been very cruel to you.
And here's the problem, Admiral. You remember lore?
No hope for me.
The thing is,
that at the last second.
He's looked the same way for a very long time. He's just a little bit older and a little bit more frail. Like, you know, because he...
Are you talking about Patrick Stewart?
We've always seen Patrick... I've always seen Patrick Stewart as somebody, you know, sort of bald and like, you know...
Somebody once said he was like 50 for like 30 years.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
From the age of like 21 to like you know, 70 or
like
something.
Like if you've already sort of lost your hair as you grow older, that you don't have that change so you don't look, you know, older. I don't know.
To answer your question, Patrick, I do not have a tick about 9 seconds. It just seemed that... I think maybe I have a tick about the length of file I was copying, pasting. Maybe I was like, oh, it's exactly this many centimeters. And then it turns out that...
Centimeters of audio file?
Of audio file highlighting on the screen. Or
like
something.
His voice sounds...
Dependent on the zoom level, isn't it?
Yeah, and the screen size. But I only do it at one, so...
Okay.
In one context.
His voice sounds a little much more frail. But, like, you know, he doesn't look any that much different.
Okay, so there's he definitely does look basically the same, which is kind of weird.
He's got the same old Patrick Stewart look.
So there's three more questions. Let's zip through these.
All right.
Yes.
Perverted.
That's Geordi as well. He has a perverted view of humanity.
A little bend, a little arch, a little antagonizing flair is required.
The first part he was talking about his robot penis. Right.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Well, it's got a little bend.
A little bend, a little arch.
A little bit of arch.
Let's get through the sound file.
A little bend, a little arch, a little antagonizing flair is required.
Yeah. It's got a flair.
You're doing this on purpose.
What?
You're not supposed to talk during the sound file.
But I
thought that was it.
Yeah, we can hear it. What, is there something we're missing?
No, it's just
hearing?
so everyone can hear what's happening.
All right.
A little bend, a little arch, a little antagonizing flair is required.
Okay.
Lore has a perverted sense of what it means to be human.
Yes. All right.
Going to antagonize me. This is for the audience's sake. I'm thinking about the audience. All right, yes. Okay, next one. Next
All
one.
All right.
Kraken. Kraken. Kraken.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Kraken.
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 Crack it.
It's not the sea monster.
Kraken. Kraken.
Any hints?
Yes, give us a hint.
You were talking about, like, I guess...
Film a Kraken.
British aphorisms, is that the correct word, I guess?
Well, you keep talking and we'll let you know.
And that's what that word is.
Oh, Kraken? Yeah. That's an Irish thing.
Oh, is it Irish? Shit, that's fucked up of me. I'm sorry, I apologize to everyone for that.
It's pretty fucked up.
It's my ignorance shining through. I didn't
I mean,
it.
Unless you're talking Northern Irish, then it's a little less fucked
up. I don't want, it's not cool to mix up that kind of stuff. Like, just, you know, I don't know. I'm ignorant, and I mix here, and I'm making assumptions, and I'm mixing it up, and that's fucked up.
Why don't you play the
me.
Full clip?
Okay, everyone give up.
Well, I found myself a cracking little sweet.
I'll just
a cracking little sweet.
Yeah, there's more.
Oh well, he said it. He's British. It's, must
Let's
be
see
British.
The rest well, of the, this. Is the rest of this.
I have some time, sure. Well, no, it's fine. Totally fine.
It's when he's talking to Sydney about finding the place to.
Yeah. So this, about I'm glad you brought this
when he's
up.
When he's hitting on Sydney, basically.
I'm glad you brought this up because I think it's weird to hit on somebody in an elevator.
What's a turbo lift?
If you prefer make a move on or chatting up, whatever term you want
Put
to use,
the moves
I think
on.
In an elevator, it's not the best place to hit on somebody.
Right, because they're trapped there.
It's yes, a little, it's a confined it's, space.
Yeah.
And yes, I know that in
That's a me too
technical jargon, we would refer to these as a turbo lift, but we all know, all of us in the Star Trek community,
it's an elevator.
Oh, that's an elevator.
Yeah, that goes sideways.
Yeah, you can call it a turbo.
It goes all sorts of directions. So yeah, I think that's weird too. But
it's
it
just,
seems like
I don't know. I was a little uncomfortable.
You don't want to be that forward about something like that. Yeah. You can't get away from physically.
I mean, on
the, not that there was any risk that Jack would do anything, but it's the principle of like you want. Yeah. It's like a social kind of like we want to represent this idea that I can get away from this scenario easily.
And perhaps it was my discomfort was accentuated by the fact that. As we're finding out that Jack can apparently, and he maybe he was finding this out at the moment too, he can apparently
right.
read people's thoughts.
Yeah, she's like, why'd you do that?
As we're finding that out, he's hitting on her, but he's basically saying, I found a big room that we can fuck in.
Yeah.
Would you like to go fuck in this room that right. I found?
Yep.
And that's uncomfortable in an elevator. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Both for the character and frankly for the producers at this stage. It was also exacerbated perhaps by the fact that he's reading her mind and she's all like, be a little subtle about it, like touch my hand or something. Mm-hmm. And then he immediately touches her hand and she's like, what the fuck?
Right. Yeah, right.
You're reading my mind? What's going on there? That's not cool.
And yeah. I mean, even if you read someone's mind, you shouldn't make a physical move for the
I'm
first time in an elevator.
Because if...
It's weird,
Normally, if I'm watching that, I would... It was almost coded as being like, here's a character you think you should be thinking is a creep. But I don't think that's what they want us to think. So that minor little thing to throw
Because I wouldn't think that he was a creep. Like
he doesn't seem like a creep. He seems like a charming scoundrel.
But he's a scoundrel. He's a scamp. He's got some issues.
But we are supposed to be like suspicious of this dude in a certain way, you know, because he's got these new powers.
Yeah,
and like
he's got some.
I mean, but are we supposed to think he's like a molester?
No. I think okay.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think of
is
him
he
as
Jack
a
the Ripper? Do you think that's going to be the gag that he's Jack the Ripper
he's got,
reincarnated because they did that on TOS Wolf in the Fold?
We all know from like comic books.
Do you think this is a Wolf in the Fold situation?
We all know from comic books and things like that that like someone can be good, but when they have a bunch of power, they can turn.
I've never read a comic book.
You've heard
what are these
you've heard people
saying?
Reference them, okay?
A comic book.
I like Calvin and Hobbes.
You've heard people reference them. You know what I'm talking about.
Like Garfield Eats the World.
You know what I'm talking about.
Garfield Eats the World.
When someone has a lot of power, power corrupts, all that stuff, you know. So like maybe they are trying to be like, oh, we got to watch Jack's turning or he's turning. But of course, when he asked that question about going into her room, that was pre-power situation.
Yes.
So that was there was no excuse for that.
Yeah, I don't know. It just threw me off a little bit. Yeah. But that does remind me that, you know, we only touched briefly on that scene with Jack and the whole puppeteering Sydney, which first of all I know he saved her life, but again I'm really curious what's going on here because it was an awkward situation in the elevator, and then in order to save her life he basically takes bodily control over her.
Her eyes turn red just like his did,
which is depending on how they play, I don't know, it could be potentially uncomfortable. On the
she
other hand
she was definitely freaked out.
She was free. Yeah.
She, but, she was like, what?
On the other hand, it is a cool power, and I was impressed.
It was a cool scene.
I was impressed with how they choreographed it and all that. Yeah. That looked pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it opened up some ideas where just sort of like stuff you hadn't really thought about in Star Trek before, other than that episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine where Quark has to wear the neural thing to fight some Klingon to save his honor. And so like Worf attaches to him and does the whole Cyrano Bergerac thing, except for Klingon fighting.
Yeah. Or the movie Real Steel with Hugh Jackman.
Does Hugh Jackman puppeteer somebody from afar?
I just talked about this like not 30 minutes ago. I was talking about the movie.
Oh, that's right. That movie sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no recollection of you talking about.
I explained
Real Steel.
It. Play the tape back. But yeah, I was talking about it specifically what I'm about to say again, which was the way it was about a fighting boxing ring where the robots box, but the humans stand on the side.
They're like Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
You know?
No, it's not like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It's like they puppet them with their body, the same fucking thing we're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
I'm more than a little concerned that I have zero recollection of you bringing that
it's
up.
Okay.
No, he totally was talking about this.
I believe you. Yeah. I'm concerned.
I'm with it. I'm with it, dude.
You know when you jump inside of somebody's body and they're the opposite sex, you know what their genitals feel like.
All right,
I know what genitals feel like. Yes,
but like their genitals.
I know what their genitals feel like. You've expressed the
thought that everyone's had from at least the time of adolescence.
Yep, probably earlier. So this is the last one, okay?
She did.
Okay.
She did.
You give up?
Do you have a clue?
She did.
I don't remember which one this is from.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no, dude. Disqualified.
Did you not write a note on that?
No, I don't think
that's an automatic win for us.
Yeah.
We get all the points.
Yeah, I should be able to give you a hint. Oh, yeah, I got it.
You got it?
It was when Geordi... Oh, wait, that was Geordi.
Okay,
and it had to do with there's okay. no other. He was it was when this Discovery style sad music was playing at the last. You know when there was the last 15 minutes they were playing that sad music.
Yeah,
and that was like a Discovery Adventure sad music. Mm. Discovery show.
You mean
like
Star Trek Discovery?
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like felt like it was from Discovery.
Yeah,
but it was and Geordi was all like, "I'm just gonna give you the context. Fuck, it's
I thought that's what you were doing.
No, I was giving you a hint.
Oh
well, this is the context.
Yeah, we're not gonna get it.
Life rarely gives you second chances to say what you should. Data, you made me better.
Yeah.
You did.
You did.
You made me a better...
You did.
I'm going to start over.
Yeah.
Life rarely gives you second chance.
Stop. No talking.
No, I get it.
Life rarely gives you second chances to say what you should. Okay? Data, you made me better. You did. You made me a better man, a better father, a better friend.
Yeah.
Great scene.
Yep.
Yeah, that was really good.
Blew me out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To use a colloquial term.
It was kind of a confusing line, but it made sense when he was all talking about, like, when you died, it broke me in two, and your memory brought me back together. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I liked it because you need to know the Star Trek to get the line. Really.
It was a cool line. It was mildly confusing at first, but I was like, I kind of get it, yeah. Know. It's because it's like, well, you broke me, but then you fixed me, and it's...
The memory
it's not
of
that,
you
it's
fixed
not,
me.
Yeah, it's not that confusing. I'm just... Well,
no, it is. I mean, it's confusing outside of the context of being understanding the history that they have. And they were able to convey it. I think even somebody who's never seen Star Trek before would be able to infer at least a good amount of their history. Yeah,
and they put they put some milk into a wormhole and
what?
What are you talking about, man?
What was that? All this thing? It was that. It was like a list of like Data and Geordi's like secrets or something. Like,
was this a Twitter thing or a comic strip?
It was something. Yeah, it was something on the internet.
You know what it was? Like, I think it was one of Mike McMahon's TNG season 8 plot lines. I remember that.
And one of them, they put some milk in a black hole, and they always get nervous every time they smell like spoiled milk in space or something.
Because they think it's coming from the womb. Yeah.
All right, we would be remiss if we didn't at least briefly touch on the fact that Picard and Beverly were totally ready to just murder their prisoner.
Oh yeah. Oh wait.
Yeah.
Check this.
Like sort of an important part of the episode.
They kept talking themselves down because they were like, "Well, hey, we got a phaser room."
And I actually have the sound. I'll give it back. I'll throw it back to you in a sec. I have the sound of them missing the fucking prisoner slurping away like 20 times. Like, it's going up in the tube, and Picard is very obviously, like, aiming to the... He can't even get it in the tube, like, when he's shooting.
Is he a fucking stormtrooper?
Yeah, I know, right?
I was also a little confused and frustrated because presumably they were going to lower the force field to shoot her. So something similar would have happened. Now, of course, obviously, if they were going to do it in a controlled fashion,
they'd
as
be more
opposed
ready,
to
I guess.
Lore dropping all of them randomly. Yeah, I understand that. It still works.
But well, yeah,
yeah, you... like, why are you missing all of a sudden? Come
on. I mean, what do you guys think about, like, when she was talking about, like, talking about the Hippocratic Oath and being like, I'm going to break the Hippocratic Oath now or something or whatever.
Well, because it's my son.
Yeah. Do you think that was cool or not cool? Well, shit, sorry.
It's not a matter of thinking it's cool or not. I think it's an interesting development, an interesting plot development, because again, it's a philosophical question. It's like, what are the criteria you have for your principles, and what are the criteria you have to go against your principles or revisit your principles is a perhaps a fair way to look at it.
Jesse and or Patrick, how does this compare to the beginning when people remember the first episode when Beverly was zappity zapping people, and then the internet, some people on the internet were complaining that was like against Beverly's, you know, thing that
lots of philosophy.
Yeah, I think there's a better word for it, and I couldn't
do no harm philosophy.
Yeah,
well, and which we argued at the time, and a lot of other people noted.
M.O. Maybe
Beverly, Dr. Crusher. Yes, of course, has always tried to avoid harm at all costs, but that sometimes that includes having to use violence in order to prevent the harm. You know, there's always that debate. That's an ages old debate, right?
Now, I wonder if you guys think that this is different. I say maybe it is because this was more execution style. They were planning it out more.
That's where I think we're supposed to understand and think about and question our own opinions on whether or not it's okay to murder. A prisoner in the context. And it's very important that the context that Picard and Beverly make the decision in that context, they still perceive that they have full control over the ship and the situation. This is not a running and gunning situation where everything's falling to shit and they're just like, we got to get rid of her now because there's a chance she could escape. Picard started the conversation stating outright, there's no way you're going to escape. Your best bet is just to let us know, you know, let us know what we want to know. So they're making that decision expressly to murder a prisoner who they think they have full control over, because there's a little bit of bloodlust, I'm sure, and revenge. Or pre-revenge, right?
Yeah,
because they're like, this person is trying to fuck up my child. And from a parental perspective, of course, there's a lot to understand about that. But it's from a Starfleet, from a
She's
doctor.
She's already caused a lot of trouble.
Physician perspective, there's a lot of stuff in play there. And it'll be interesting to see how they follow up on that. Because they made the decision, but were not forced to go through with it as it happened. Now they tried to shoot at her, but at that point she's escaping. So now it's like it's as if the lore actually gave them a justification for shooting at her, and then they missed.
Okay, so compromise prefix code is 18307. That's the kind of code that you send out when a ship is in distress and you know that the enemy can read it, but you're letting people know where you are. Now, it gives the ship its location when it sends it out. I'm guessing it also gives the location of the ship it's sending it to. That's the impression I got. Like, it's compromising both.
Probably.
But I guess
it was a weird line.
The deal was that
it wouldn't make sense, though, because if you're not accepting it, then why would it compromise?
They were
you?
Talking about like trying to talk to Starfleet about Riker being imprisoned by Starfleet, being in custody of Starfleet, and they couldn't find any proof of it. And then they were like, oh, well, he's on the Shrike.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just wondering if like both the if they were talking about how it compromises the location of the ship. And I didn't know.
My understanding from my limited experience with Spycraft. What? You were about to say something authoritative, Dan.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it gave away both positions because it was unencrypted, so it knew where it was sending it and coming from. But then you talked about Spycraft, and that immediately grabbed my attention.
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My limited understanding of Spycraft.
Oh, I thought it was like a game or something. You're talking about Spycraft in general.
I think
game is Minecraft.
I thought there was a game, Spycraft.
You're the game guy. I'm the rest of the world guy.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, yeah, dude.
No,
Don't.
I meant from reading Hunt for
Red
October.
Don't categorize me, man.
I meant from reading Hunt for Red October.
You're labeling
similar,
me.
Similar story.
Don't label me.
I am. What I was referring to is, this is not a new idea. The idea of if you are an officer who is captured, that you can reveal some information or communicate some information that is understood to be, you're giving information to your captors. Your captors will utilize that information and it will appear to be real, but that you've prearranged certain versions of that information so that if it gets out, you're sending a message because it's like, okay, I'm modifying it in this prearranged way. And that's what I was assuming.
Okay. I think I'm basically with you. I was just, my whole thing is I was obsessed over whether or not the receiver's positions are given away.
Found it kind of confusing because it was all about, you know, the Shrike does find them, but of course that's after they set up the whole bait thing. I'm also curious, given the length of this episode and how much ADR there was, I'm wondering if there's a chunk missing that they decided to edit out to tighten up the episode, because it goes from Picard saying like, what if we did have an advantage, to just the ship is floating and the Shrike shows up.
Well,
it felt to me pacing wise like there was like 3 or 4 minutes in between them of the preparation that we didn't see.
That's why I was mentioning earlier about it. I could only think that
about Real Steel.
No, it was about the VSV. What was it? The
Vulcan.
The recording from the from
the subspace signal
from the VSS Teplana.
Teplana.
And that's why I was like, I guess I guess
USS Tilapia.
I guess that they were saying like. Was it the USS or VSS?
The USS Tilapia. Oh,
VSS, because the Vulcans still have their own separate ships.
Yeah, so that's why I was wondering if it had to do with that junk pile.
I don't think
pile.
Vulcans eat tilapia.
I was wondering if it had to do with that junk pile, and Patrick, like, I think, yeah, you're right, because it was confusing. It felt like there was something missing from there.
Good God.
The 40 minutes in, when the shapeshifters took over the bridge, one of them gave a shoulder bump to one of the officers and he froze in place. I don't know if you noticed that, but right when they're taking over, he bumps and even a sound happens. There's a sound. It goes like thunk and the guy freezes in place. I don't know what the fuck was going on there.
Did you hear that little like that sound? I wish I recorded it. There's a sound that's like from Star Trek 2. When they're using it, it's like a beeping radar type sound. When they're looking for Vadic and her person, I think it's after they figured out the chemical that's in their body or whatever.
Thelonium 847.
Yeah, but listen for that sound. There's a sound from like the TOS from Star Trek 2, Star Trek 3, that era.
I didn't notice that.
I can't mimic it.
Vadic is all massaging her left hand. That's her face hand.
that is her face hand.
There were two.
Which hand is your face hand?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know? There are two. They say the title twice in this episode.
Dominion.
I have the context. I
think like the virus used against them in the Dominion War. True, my understanding recognizes the travesty of the Dominion War.
Dominion. All right. Any last little bits, because we got to close things down here.
Dominion.
I'm looking forward to next week. This is a gripping tale.
Totally.
I know we discussed a few like little harped on a few little bits of nonsense here, but really this was a fantastic episode.
The suspense never stops. It just kind
of,
you know.
Amanda Plummer's fantastic. I'm glad we'll get more of her.
Tick-tock, tick-tock, the ancient clock.
It's
campy, but I mean, Star Trek is supposed to be campy. That's why I like it. Yeah. And having having these brilliant actors act all this out is...
He's right there!
Great.
Right there!
And I think the writers are doing a great job, so keep it up. It's been a delightful time this whole season to watch this show, and I'm both sad that there's only three episodes left, but I'm also really excited to get to that conclusion and find out.
There are going
to
be some serious episodes.
Yeah, find out how everything wraps up and where it goes from here. Okay, so that's it for this episode. Next week is called Surrender. That's the name of the episode, season 3, episode 8. So we will be discussing that episode of Star Trek Picard. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram and all that other stuff. At It's Got Star Trek, Mastodon, Twitter, Facebook, all that business. YouTube.
Right there!
Yes, YouTube. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. The website is www.itsgotstartrek.com.
My name is Dan Globitz.
We're on all the services, Apple Podcasts, Apple iTunes, Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, all that business. You'll name find one. Us. I just did, Dan. I named all of them.
I am fearful of the same thing.
Google Podcasts.
Cool try.
All right. So with that, we wish you a lovely week. Rest of the week until more Star Trek. It's coming up soon. So we'll talk to you around this time next week. Bye-bye.
God damn it, Lore!
So has Lore always been this arch?
Did the tree move, or did the apple just fall far from it?